Welcome, everybody. This is Monday Night Pod. Tyler Fenske. This week, we're looking at Psalm 57. The title of this week's message is, This Too Shall Pass. So from Psalm 57, verse 1, Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until a disaster has passed.
Yeah, the intro tonight, I got into, you know, just the fact that, you know, like we've been going through, you know, David's been on the run from Saul, and at this point, he finds himself in a cave, and this is the psalm of what he says when he's in this situation. You know, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed, and I made the point that, you know, if you look at great men, and even more so great men of the Bible, there's often times where it's like the Lord calls you to something, and like we talked about last week, he makes a promise over your life. There's going to be times when something doesn't align or there's some adversity that comes your way to where it looks like, how are you going to get out of this? You know, it just seems like a complete and total disaster, right? And if you just looked at everything from that moment, you would think, how is it going to work out? How is it going to come to pass? You know, all the odds are stacked against you. And I think the reason why the Lord sets it that way, you know, we talked about tonight, one, it's to develop you, two, to work everything together, but three, at the end, that's what's going to give him the credit and give him the glory and give you the knowledge that it was him the whole time, right? Because if you were able to accomplish it on your own, you wouldn't need the Lord, right? So why would the Lord put you through something that you could do on your own? Right. I gave the example of, you know, just movie moments, you know, and the reasons why we love going to movies and love watching movies is because of those moments where it's like it captures human nature so perfectly and it has you on the edge of your seats of, you know, just in the moment, you know, what's going to happen next. Right. And you're trying to develop the story. You're thinking of what could happen. And I think a lot of people have so few of these in their lives these days, because they're just not embracing what the Lord has for them. You know, if they would seriously seek and find what the Lord's will and what the Lord's plan is for their lives, and if they would take that seriously, you know, they would have moments like that, movie moments, moments like David had here, to where he's on the run from Saul and he ends up in a cave. And what I wanted to start off tonight was understanding when you're in that moment, the biggest thing that gets you through is realizing it's just a moment.
Yeah, I think there's, as you mature in life too, and the more that you experience, that's probably when the blessings of getting older is, you know, when you're younger, everything seems like the end of the world at all times. It's always relative to what you've experienced. So it's a blessing when you go through hard things, because then that, you don't overreact so much the smaller things and panic over the smaller things and stressed about the smaller things, because you have much more just perspective on them. You know, I think that's one of just the blessings of getting older. You know, I had the biggest, you know, culture shock of my life in the Marine Corps in America. You know, it wasn't like going to a foreign country, but it was such a completely different experience from anything that I'd experienced in life to that point. But, you know, being exposed to that level of stress all the time, that was such a positive and, you know, just give me more perspective in life. You know, so it's like, I think that the more that you experience and the more that you go through, the more that maturity then builds.
Yeah.
You know, you made a really good point tonight. You said, tying in with this verse, you said, are you taking seriously what God has for you?
Yeah. I think that
speak to that.
Well, like you just said, we would be able to handle so much more if we would let ourselves go through things and experience things and let that end up working for us later in life.
Avoid everything. That tonight.
Yeah. Avoid everything. Right. I think especially when it comes to like the generation of kids these days who grew up on iPhones, if you look at the amount of screen time they have, it's like, how do you get anything done? How do you experience any of life? You know, most, if you do the math, and math is just math, it's just numbers. If you do the math, a majority of their experience in life is being spent on a screen.
It's digital.
It's all digital. right? Mm-hmm. So how do you actually deal with anything? How do you actually experience anything in real life? And I made the point tonight, I think one of the reasons why they don't is because they're just bored, right? The reason why you would seek a screen rather than real life is because you have nothing in real life that will give you a higher dopamine release than the screen itself, right? Either that or you're not just embracing the calling that you have, right? And so understanding that the Lord has a calling of your life and you need to seek it out, right? You need to know exactly what that is, right? You can't avoid it and you have to embrace it, right? That's just a part of being faithful, right? To fear the Lord and respect the Lord enough to say, hey, this is what the Lord's will is. I'm going to take that seriously and I'm going to be diligent at that. Hebrews 11 says that the Lord blesses those who seek him diligently. Another translation says that seek him earnestly, right? And so if you're willing to do that, all of a sudden that's when you see the Lord work everything together and turn everything around for you, because not only are you in integrity with him, you're in integrity with the process, like we've talked about in weeks before, the process that it requires to be effective in what he's called you to.
Yeah, that's that verse 6 here, right, of Hebrews 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That came up in my small group tonight where a kid was saying, I don't feel like I'm getting any insight into his quiet times. So, he's reading and praying and he's not understanding anything. And the issue is he's just being inconsistent. Hmm. So he's still not at the point of, he probably started coming to study about 6 weeks ago, and he's in my group now, but he hasn't gotten to the point yet of being consistent where he's reading his word and making a habit of that, and he's doing it daily. Mm-hmm. So like any relationship, what you put in, you get back out. And I told him tonight, it's, you can't expect, God's not going to reveal himself to you when you're not even taking the time to try to get to know him. Mm. So it's that earnestly seek him. It's like, that is the nature of God, that the more that you, if you seek the Lord, that's when he reveals himself to you. And I think that would be consistent with any type of relationship, right? The more you know somebody, the more you trust somebody, the more you're going to learn about them and understand them. And, if you go way back when we talked about just even aspects of friendship and just basically just sharing of information that is a hallmark of even just a friendship, let alone a deeper relationship. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about vision, purpose, and we covered that, in good depth last week, but it's like, it starts with just that consistent time with the Lord. You can't expect to hear from God if you are not taking the time to prioritize God on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the excuses that you hear for that.
Yeah.
As to why I didn't get in my word that day, or why I didn't pray, whatever it was, but that has to be prioritized in the day. Earnestly, like you said, one translation, diligently seeking him.
Yeah, and once you can get that down, it's like, you start to understand that God's equipped you with everything you need to get past this moment, to get past this trial, to get past this adversity. He's given you everything you need to do so, right? So in moments where, like David in the cave, in moments where it's like, the devil could use that, or the enemy could use that as a reason or a way to get you discouraged or to get you bitter or to get you upset or emotional or distract you, he can use it for all those things. You have the opportunity to do what you want with it, right? You have the opportunity to get out. The Lord's given you everything that you need to move forward. So if you have a situation that comes up and you don't like it, that's fine. What are you going to do about it? All right, the Lord's given you ability, right? The Lord's given you talents and giftings. He's given you opportunity. If you would just look at it and find it, right? And act, right? If you took where it says, if you would just speak to that mountain and say, go throw yourself in the ocean, and if you had the faith, it would be so, it would be done, right? You still have to speak, right? You still have to do. So if you don't like something, the Lord's not going to baby you over it. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be diligent, not just in your words, but also in your actions?
And when you talk about if he's called you to it, he's equipped you for it. I just got a text today, somebody asking me about that. And they said, you know, a few weeks back, you said this, what exactly were you saying with this? And if he's called you to it, he's equipped you for it. Where people get confused with that is they think that it should look like everybody else. So this person has this that allows him to be successful in this or that. Therefore, that is how what I should also have. Not realizing that I can be equally successful, if not more so, with a different set of skills and gifts and talents. And that what has to be identified. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to identify is what did God give me? Where do I excel? We even touched on this last week, right? But sometimes that's hard to see yourself. Mm-hmm. Many times that's an outside facilitator that's going to be able to recognize that, because it is tough to see yourself. But being able to identify that and then being, you know, drilling into that, you can run from there.
Yeah. Just something to finish up on tonight. We read out of Colossians 2, you know, just understanding mm-hmm. that, you know, all power and all authority has been given to Jesus Christ. And if you have a relationship through Jesus Christ, you have access to that, right? That's working for you, right? So just understanding that the Lord controls everything. Nothing's too hard for him, and he's working everything for you. And you can trust on that. Another great verse was brought up tonight in 1 Peter. If you want to go there in 1 Peter 5.
Verse 6, yeah.
1 Peter chapter 5, here in verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." And the guy who brought it up made a really good point. In due time, right? So just trusting the Lord's timing, being under that, understanding that he will bring it to pass. A good example of that in here, I brought up from a kid who really went through this trial last year, to where he basically washed out of his sport. Nobody wanted him. And so he said, okay, I'm going to take a year and just develop myself and give myself a chance. Ended up breaking his hand and had to have surgery on it. And so we talk about like David in the cave, you know, these moments where like it's not looking well. It really wasn't looking well for him. You know, he's literally has a broken hand. He played baseball, so he literally couldn't swing the bat and play his position. This ended up working out for him, because his thing was, okay, now I'll do a throwing program, right? And so he decides to do that. And from there, all of a sudden he's sowing seeds in the morning and the evening, working two different things, doesn't know which one will prosper, stays diligent. Proverbs 13 says that the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. He stays diligent, you know, he's seeking first the kingdom through and through the whole way. And all of a sudden it's like pitching becomes this thing because of this throwing program. And he goes to summer ball and lights it up, and all of a sudden he's given a chance to play out of Division I this spring. And if you would have looked at it a year ago, you would have thought like, oh no, like everything's going against him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how is this going to work out? Credit to him. He just stayed diligent, trusted God, and it came to pass. You know, it was just a moment. You know, and when we say this too shall pass, you got to give yourself a chance and one, trust God, but two, just keep working the process. And all of a sudden you see the fact that he had a broken hand worked for him.
Yeah.
You know, it worked out for his benefit. It worked out for his good, because he loved God and he kept seeking him first daily.
Yeah. It was really, he was, you know, at a rinky-dink junior college struggling, and goes into the office at the end of the year, and the coach says, "We don't even want you back," which, you know, that's a stab in the heart. Right there. A lot of people would have quit right there. Mm. But that was a blessing, because he had no other school to go to. And then at also he finds out that, you know, because he'd been apparently having this pain at the end of the season in his hand, then comes to find out with an x-ray, whatever that was, a couple months later, that he's got a broken hand. So two circumstances that seem awful. No school wants me. The school I was at doesn't want me back, so I got cut. I played terrible. Now I got a broken hand. And that's an important lesson right there, because the exact moment that many people quit is the same moment that other people keep going and succeed for it. The perseverance that James chapter 1 talks about. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish this work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the perseverance that he then demonstrated, where because these circumstances seem so painful in the moment, now we're pushing him into a gap year and then throwing and develops in there. And now you see, you know, making this jump to Division I this spring, right? So seeing how that all came together for him. But the verse that you brought up in Peter there, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Humble, that's so important to understand. Humility does not mean you are walking the earth with your head down and woe is me and I suck. That is not humility. Humility means that you are teachable, that you can learn, that you understand you have more in store for you, that you are capable of growing, that you don't know it all. That's the opposite of pride, which thinks that it knows it all and it's not coachable and doesn't listen and doesn't grow. Mm-hmm. So the Bible's telling you to humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. So the Lord's mighty hand is going to teach over you. I will teach you what you should, where you should know and where you should go. I will counsel you and instruct you, as the Psalms says. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? Mm. Right? That he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That is most of the texts that I get in a day. Is somebody's anxious about something. Somebody else is anxious about something else. It's many, many different things. But there's a lot of anxiety out there right now. There's a lot of just fear, anxiety. People dealing with a lot of just the difficulties of life. And the Bible tells you, there's your process. So humble yourselves. Let God teach over you under God's mighty hand. So you're not a finished product. You have room to grow. Put aside the pride and stubbornness and grow under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So now, if you are being taught under by God, now it's just a matter of time. And then cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So you can just put that all on the Lord in the promise of what you talked about tonight, that you're going to be under the shelter of his wings in this disaster.
Yeah, it will come to pass. And the ability to understand that, to keep your faith in him, to know what his purpose and will is for your life, to keep trusting the process, to keep staying diligent and taking action. Understanding it is just a moment. The Lord will work his magic, and he does have a mighty hand, right? And he's capable of working it all out together. You know, we see this for David, you know, in the cave and what came after that. We're going to get into that in the weeks to come, further in Psalm 57. But that's part one of it. This too shall come to pass. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fesky.